Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Before we get into this next discussion, I will quote Adam Bingham, and we just had Chase McCabe in here to talk about this pro wrestling thing. WWE calls itself sports entertainment, according to Bingham. Also, WWE SummerSlam is at Nissan Stadium July 30th. I didn't know that, so get excited. And as Chase said, and I think this is fair, the word fake angers wrestling fans. The word scripted, he's cool with, and that's fine.
Okay.
If that's where the line is, that's fine. Scripted. It's fantastic athleticism and entertainment. And it's a fun, entertaining product. It is scripted. Now, is that technically fake? Well, if you actually believe that they're competing for something, then yeah, but fine. Eject the word fake from the discussion.
I wish I was here for whenever you did a Rex Ray on this.
I mean, the Ultimate Predator immediately called.
It was a process.
Gotta love Ulti.
July 18th.
Ulti.
It's a Monday. We can do it on that day.
And that'll be a nice preview to WWE SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do it that day.
I'll be on vacation somewhere, probably.
I was going to say, I'm hoping I am too. All right.
Well, don't leave me alone. Me too.
Maybe we can have some of our young talent from The Six.
The Six.
Talk about this.
Yeah. John the Mailman texting in says, I hear Tom Brady acknowledges people when they hold the door open for them. Do we think so? I mean, Brady says thank you. People hold the door open for him.
Well, he probably opens it with his own Jedi mind trick. And then thanks himself.
Everybody thinks it's an automatic door, but it's not.
Yeah.
Just Brady being Obi-Wan
Just
Kenobi
the Pharaoh
out there.
Being yeah. the Pharaoh.
Good stuff. We talked about this earlier in the show. An interesting week down there in Palm Beach, Florida. We had Jim White on earlier from the owners' meeting. He's been down there all week long in sunny Palm Beach, Florida. And Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, had some interesting comments earlier this week that Zach Kiefer has done a nice job of on The Athletic. Of kind of putting all these things together and detailing kind of the different things that Irsay talked about, from Carson Wentz to acquiring Matt Ryan up there in Indianapolis to maybe some discussions he had earlier in the season last year for the Colts, including after a Week 3 loss to the Titans that saw the Colts really struggling at that point. They lost 25-16 against the Titans. They were 0-3 on the season. And the way that it was described was a, quote, come-to-Jesus meeting with the owner and basically everybody involved in football operations, the coaching staff, scouting department, everybody in there, where he basically said, hey, you guys are getting your butts kicked. Who's going to do something about it? We'll get them next time. Not good enough. Who's going to stop it? Who's going to stand up and stop it? The quote from Jim Irsay in this piece, which I'm sure the people sitting around this table as Jim Irsay is going through this diatribe was quite something there. But very interesting piece that Zach Kiefer has put together on Jim Irsay, and it seems like he's spending a whole lot of time thinking about the Tennessee Titans. Says, quote, if you have someone that's dominant in your division, you're in big trouble. Big trouble, end quote, from Jim Irsay. The Tennessee Titans occupying a lot of headspace for the Indianapolis Colts owner this offseason, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sure as they sat around that table, they're like, gosh, you know, Mr. Irsay is right. We didn't really try that hard last week. We didn't prepare. Everybody was going home at 6 p.m. The coaches were, you know, going out to dinner, and the scouts have kind of just been lollygagging around. Thank you, Mr. Irsay. We really appreciate that.
And that was the Carson Wentz game where he, yeah, like, literally couldn't walk.
Right.
Like, almost.
Carson Wentz. I mean, honestly, if you want to say there were some impressive things from Carson Wentz last year, some big wins. He had good numbers. That game, just being able to sort of throw some good passes while not stepping into any of them was actually kind of good. And the fact that they only lost 25-16 is kind of amazing. But Jim Irsay getting upset, getting angry, got the Titans on the brain. And he's just I feel like all this stuff with Irsay recently, going back to that video after they lost to the Jags when he was about to get on his private plane or was just getting off or whatever, I feel like if you're a Titans fan paying attention to all this stuff, one, you definitely love the idea that the Titans are in his head, but also maybe you feel a little bit better about where things are going, because I don't know, man. Irsay has made – it's all about hiring good people to do the football job, and he has done – I mean, his most recent hires I think are good, but it's a little bit it's a little bit much. And that can create a – well, let's see. That can hurt the culture.
Yes.
Of a franchise.
Yes, it can. Just a fascinating quote about the Jacksonville game in here, too, where the Colts lost the last game of the season and Carson Wentz got sacked left and right, and it was just brutal for the Colts out there. Ninth straight loss in Jacksonville, which is amazing. This was the quote from Zach Kiefer's piece. Quote, no disrespect to Jacksonville, but it's, like, it's almost like the, with all due respect, and remember, I'm saying with all due respect, I mean, they're the worst team in the league. I mean, if you play well for the first quarter, you know, they're probably looking to go to the locker room, you know. I can't emphasize how shocked and disappointed I was. I don't have the words to describe that level of letdown. I mean, I've never seen it in my life. It's coming from Jim Irsay, the quote. That
I actually agree with him there.
Well, I do, but like the from him, from his quotes and Chris Ballard, some of the quotes that have come from him, like those next few days in the Colts facility after they lost to Jacksonville must have just been brutal. They're just like standing in the film room with the lights off and staring into the corner. Much like me when the, you know, the Titans lost that one day and the Packers lost to the 49ers. Good stuff.
And everybody in the building, like you know, looking around the corner to see if Mr. Irsay is walking down the hallway. Yeah. So, oh, look busy. You know, it's like the season's over, you know, but he's ranting and raving. Yeah, it's interesting. It's got to be satisfying for Titans fans to hear about this. I think maybe the most ridiculous thing he said, and I apologize for not crediting it, it was – also in these, it's not in this piece, but it was also, I believe, at the owners' meetings. But
yeah,
he had this, you know, this thing about, you know, you can't blame Chris and Frank for, I mean, just the, you know, Andrew Luck retires. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, like, that's just the stunning thing for a franchise. And how are you supposed to recover from that? And the answer to that is, name me the franchise who got lucky enough to have Peyton Manning followed up by Andrew Luck. So basically, a quarter century of those two quarterbacks. You've been on scholarship, buddy. You're now like everybody else for the most part. Everybody else almost all the time is what you are now. So, I mean, come on.
Just give him a call. Pick up that flip phone. Get Andrew Luck back in there. He's still young-ish.
Yeah, you know, there was some – he did some TV.
He did.
He did some TV, which, I don't know if that's really his bag. I don't know that he's going to be the next Romo, but I mean, he's a very likable guy. What is he like? He's 32.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have another great decade of quarterbacking if he wanted to.
That is kind of amazing just to think about. You get those back-to-back quarterbacks, and then he just walks away from the game. It is pretty incredible.
But again, keep in perspective then what you still have.
I know.
Poor Colts.
We'll see if Matt Ryan's the answer. I don't know. He had some interesting comments about that, too. Like, you know, he went through the whole Carson Wentz situation and was, you know, it was obvious we needed to move on from Carson Wentz. I was like, golly, these guys are just, they have buried Carson Wentz this offseason. Chris Ballard, Jim Irsay, they don't care. And then, of course, after that, he's like, you know, I don't regret the Carson Wentz trade, but
yeah,
it was pretty obvious we needed to move on.
Yeah.
Jeez, what did Carson Wentz do in there that has them all this upset at Carson Wentz, even after he's gone?
He should have spent some of this time profusely thanking Daniel Snyder for running a completely inept organization.
Yes.
For letting the Colts get off the hook, basically, here and actually get picks out of the Wentz disaster. Yeah. It's, man.
Here's the full quote.
He's go like, Commanders.
I don't have regrets about the trade. I mean, you try to make the best decision you can from the position you were in, and it's a tough league, and it's tough being right. And, you know, I think the worst thing you can do is have a mistake and try to keep living with it. He's like, I don't regret it, but yeah, it was definitely a mistake, and we got it. We got Carson Wentz on out of there.
I don't regret this complete disaster that I continue to throw shade at in my life all the time. No regrets.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning. Hal Gill coming up at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, my favorite Irsay quote about Wentz is, quote, we didn't know that we'd get anything for him when we decided to trade him, end quote. He's just been relentless on his Wentz hate. He really has been. Carson Wentz must have really made Jim Irsay upset.
To be fair, I mean, that's accurate. Like, they shouldn't have.
I know.
But the Commanders just had to have their new commander in the huddle.
Yeah. I got a texture that says, quote, a fish dies from the head down. Mr. Irsay should look in the mirror for some answers. This is coming from Dr. Bearcat. Is Dr. Bearcat, that a code name for Ryan Porth?
It's a good question.
Is it Desmond Ritter?
Hey, I hate to throw this in the mix, but I'm sorry, Kyle, I have to do this. I totally agree pro wrestling is not a sport. I do, however, think they are athletes. I think golfers and NASCAR drivers are not. Come on, Kyle.
You ever played golf?
Yeah. Go see if you can make par on a golf course. Now, I understand John Daly can go out there and crush 4 bags of peanut M&Ms and 8 beers. And I get it. But
I'm not saying that the athletes are in the greatest shape. I'm just saying it's
– But actually, if you want to go to NASCAR, are you kidding me? They are absolutely athletes. They're all athletes. But I'm just saying, NASCAR drivers, you know how hard that is?
Rumor has it I'm hopping in one next week.
So really?
Ready for that, yep.
Ooh. Does this make you an athlete?
I don't know if they're going to let me drive it. But we'll see. I will lobby to be able to drive it. Let's see what happens.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, but seriously, we can move on from this now until the next text that makes me mad, but come on. They're athletes.
Coy in Clarksville texting in says, the Titans messed up letting Dane Cruikshank walk. If you missed it, Dane Cruikshank did sign a deal with the Chicago Bears. I still have not seen the terms for that deal, so I don't know.
It's not going to be much.
Probably a one-year deal, right?
Yeah.
Would be my guess. So Dane Cruikshank now signed with the Chicago Bears. Like I'm not going to sit here and act like this is some gigantic loss for the Titans, but he did carve out a nice role for himself as the season went on last year of – you know, obviously special teams and everything he brings to the table in that department, but also defending against tight ends this past year. For whatever reason, he seemed to be really equipped to do that and did a good job in that for the Titans defense last year.
Yeah, I thought that his time with the Titans was going to end with final cuts.
Yep.
And just mainly because he was unavailable so often. I mean, he missed so much time. His NFL career, he has been hurt a lot of it. But to his credit, he did carve out a role, and that's why he got a chance, I think, now to go play with the Bears. And you can make the case that the Titans should have thought about keeping him around, but I don't think it's some big deal. I think they can find someone else to do what he did. It worked out well. Like, his skill set worked, especially with Kelsey. You know, pressing and bumping Kelsey at the line in some of those third downs and just, you know, man coverage. He was good at that. I don't think he's like some devastating loss.
No, I think they're going to be okay. Now, I mean, you're going to play against some good tight ends this year. Can you find a way to defend those guys? But, I mean, it's not like Dane Cruikshank has reinvented the wheel at defending the tight end position in the NFL.
No, it was a good job, I think, you know, by Shane Bowen of identifying something that he could, because he wasn't going to break into the safety rotation. He was sort of like a hybrid linebacker safety in this package, and that worked out well. And again, it's good to have a versatile player like that and a player who can help you on special teams. Let's also remember how often he was unavailable in his time with the Titans.
We've talked so much about the draft for the Titans, and we've talked offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, all offensive positions. We know that the defense is pretty set on paper. You've got Dupree and Landry and Autry and Simmons and Cunningham coming back, David Long coming back. I mean, really, the one question I have as far as starters are concerned on defense is Caleb Farley. Like, that's basically it on that side of the ball. How much attention do you think the Titans pay to that side of the ball in the draft? Like, could they get to the fifth or sixth round and still have not taken a defensive player at that point? I think it's possible.
It is possible. I figure somewhere in there they'll maybe slightly surprise us and take. I mean, because you could make a case. First of all, you go on by your board. So at any position on the defense, if you've got someone who is just at the top of your board at a particular position, I think you got to be true to it. You know, there's always the, okay, but this guy is third on the board and is at an absolute position of need. Okay, well, then go there. And teams sure do that. But you can make a case. You can always use more depth at, I mean, really, like any spot you can think of there. But what, I mean, another safety. I mean, honestly, with Cruikshank is, he was depth. I think they tried to find safety depth with Brady Breeze. Didn't work out last year. So I think there's one. I think a corner pick the middle of their draft would make sense, too. You don't know what Caleb Farley's going to be. And Caleb Farley and Dylan Radins are the two huge second-year players who are their stories are going to be really important for the Titans. But in the meantime, you got to have insurance for that stuff, too.
Well, and I will say, like, one comment at the Combine that caught my attention, and we talked about this, and I get it, it's the Combine, and we read into a lot of stuff, but John Robinson was pretty effusive in his praise for the depth of the edge rush position at the Combine. Now, you look around, and you're like, okay, well, you've got Rashad Weaver, who you just drafted last year, that he's not even in the starting rotation right now. You feel like you're pretty set there, but you talk about a position where you can never really have enough guys, that would be one of them that I would identify. So I'm not saying they're going to go like first-round pick with their edge rusher, but I wouldn't be surprised if they took one at some point in the draft.
Yeah. Now, they did sign Ola Adeniyi, which I think that's a nice – so that's a really nice, to me, quartet. If you know Weaver's healthy and becomes what you thought he would be when he was drafted, I think there were some encouraging signs from him as a player before he got hurt. So Weaver Adeniyi backing up Dupree Landry, that's not bad. That's not a bad spot at all. But I agree with you. I mean, if there's someone you love at that spot, depth there is worthwhile. They have, I think, pretty good depth at inside linebacker. But you know what? A fourth guy who can be a young guy who can come along is never a terrible idea either. So I think there'll be some defense in this draft.
Jason from Mount Juliet texting in says, if Farley isn't quite ready to start at the start of the season, who do you think fills that spot? Screen, Jackson, or do they slide Molden out? It's coming from Jason from Mount Juliet.
The last one, no. I mean, I think
they're leaving Molden where he is.
Yeah, I think Molden is a slot corner all the way, and I think he's going to be a good one. Probably Screen.
Probably so.
And you feel okay about that if that's what you have to do. Look, Chris Jackson has had his ups and downs. Chris Jackson has been a very good pick for them, by the way.
Yep.
Where they got him, the seventh round in 20. He's already outperformed where he was picked, and he's had some good days. He had a really good day against the Rams in L.A. last year. He's had some bad days, too. He's had some bad moments. You don't feel terrible if you have to go there, but if this defense is going to take a step and be great, then I think Caleb Farley's part of it.
Ron on the text line says, can't the Titans go for the best player on the board in draft before first need, if available? I mean, yes, you can all – it's good to go by your board. I will say, though, like if your best player on your board is a running back,
right,
you probably just need to hold off on drafting a running back in the first round.
You do need a successor someday to Derrick Henry.
You do.
Yeah, I've never bought this because I've heard GM say it. Like, we have our board, and that's it. We go by our board. You have to take need into account. There's nothing wrong with taking need into account. I mean, to me, it should be a sliding scale. Not like it's exact math, but it's a sliding scale of need versus best available. I mean, even for example, your best player on your board may be a quarterback. Now, maybe you do take the quarterback. Yeah, but
this could be the year to do that.
This could be the year to do that. But some years, for some teams, clearly they would not be taking a quarterback.
Yeah, like when the best player on your board is Jordan Love and you trade up to go get him and you have Aaron Rodgers, maybe don't do that.
Stay true to your board.
Yeah.
They stayed true to their board.
They did. Got up to go get him. It was good stuff.
Man.
They never play.
That doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
You're not still bitter about that or anything.
No. William from Madison on the text line says, only one player left in the 2018 draft for the Titans. It's coming from William from Madison. And Rashawn Evans is gone at this point. Is that right? One player from 2018?
That's a very interesting. I have to
it's
go.
Good
back
thing they had the 19 draft.
You know, Harold Landry is Harold Landry is definitely so. That's got to be the player.
Yeah.
I remember for one thing they moved up twice in that draft, so they lost picks, right? So they had four picks in that draft. In the end, it's not going to be known as a banner draft for them. You know, they got Cruikshank in the fifth. And again, as a fifth-round pick, especially considering what he did last year, that ends up being, I think, a decent pick. Before last year, just a guy that was just – it was just very tough to keep him healthy. Round six, Luke Falk.
That didn't quite work out.
And that's one of those – I'm a big non-fan of take a flyer on a QB late. I mean, look, we know where Tom Brady went. In fact, did he go 199 overall?
Yes.
And Luke Falk was 199. So
I remember that conversation.
That must have been it. Yes. Here we go, the next Brady. It's just get another corner. But, you know, Landry is the star of that draft, and Evans is you can go look at that draft, and there's a certain Colts linebacker who was there that you could have taken, but instead you moved to get Evans. Hey, I got the appeal with Evans. Watching him at Alabama, I mean, he has all the tools, but that's also where you just don't know. You just don't know until they're here. And the interesting thing with him is I think he was really making progress in year two, and then it just sort of plateaued for him.
Although I will say I thought he was better last year than he was year before.
Agree. No, you're right.
And
he
then
was.
He was a healthy scratch.
He's not a bad player.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Falcons get him for really cheap or whoever, but that would be – I'll be really interested to see what the terms of the deal are. If they get him, that could be actually a really good deal for them. And you would think that Rashawn Evans is beyond motivated to prove that he's a legit starting quality player in this league.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they travel to take on the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. NBA same game parlays give you the chance to turn a little bet into a big time payday. Choose any NBA game and combine multiple bets like the amount of three pointers made, who the leading scorer will be, and more into one wager for bigger wins. You've got the Nets and the Bucks tonight. Big matchup in the Eastern Conference. Give me the Bucks on the money line. Give me Giannis over on points as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Maybe you like Kevin Durant to have a big night tonight for the Nets. Regardless of who it is, make the midseason feel like the playoffs when you bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to bet the NBA today. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds radio analyst, former Preds defenseman Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing all right. Just getting ready to shoot out to Buffalo.
Very nice. Going to be
beautiful Buffalo.
Nothing says beautiful like Buffalo. No question about that. So, Hal, what do you make of kind of where the Predators are right now with their game? Obviously, a good week so far. They've won both games. An opportunity to sweep the week coming up tomorrow against Buffalo. Overall, with their game, where do you think they are at the moment?
Well, I think it's tough to really put a finger on where they're at in their game when you're playing against Philadelphia, Ottawa. I thought Ottawa played a pretty good game. They're they were fast. I thought they clog up the neutral zone. They made it tough on the Preds, which I think was probably a good thing. But then you're going into Buffalo. You got these teams that aren't really fighting it. You look at the end of the schedule. That's when we're going to find out what the team is all about. You got some tough teams down the stretch, including Minnesota twice, Colorado. It's going to be a tough haul down the end. So we'll obviously learn more about it. But where they're at right now, I think they're in a good space. I heard John Hines. How many times did he say consistency?
It was a lot. He consistently said consistency.
It was just he's beating that drum, and you know if I can give a player's perspective, like, yeah, you want to be consistent, but how do you get to consistency? Like, how do you make that happen when you got a lot going on in your life, and you know people are having babies, and it's like life continues and. Yeah, you want to bring that same effort every night, but sometimes you get jacked up for a game, and sometimes you're not, and you got to fight through the ups and downs. Sometimes you feel good. Sometimes your body just, like this time of year, your body just hurts. You wake up, and, you know, you had the time change and the long flight home, and, you know, I was hurt, and I didn't even play. Of course, that's Vegas. It's a different story. But when you're going through a lot, so I think consistency is a really hard thing to do, and you have to work on it, and it's something that you have to be aware of your game while you're inconsistent, if that makes sense. You know, to be consistent, you have to realize that you're not at the top of your game. Keep it simple. Know when to make the pretty play because you're feeling good. And know when I'm just not quite sharp right now, I better keep it simple. And so you have to tailor your game to it. So I feel like we're watching the Preds do that right now, where they're playing lower teams and saying, God, I want to feel good, but I just don't feel good. So I better make the safe play. And that decision making, it's not always easy. And so I think we're seeing that right now. But I do like where the team is at, you know. Knock on wood, the forwards seem healthy, but every time I look at a team and say, okay, they're healthy, they're not healthy. They're banged up. They're hurting. Everyone is in the lineup, which is a great thing to see, but it's also, you know, that there's a guy that is fighting through something, at least one guy, probably five guys. And then the defense, you know, hopefully they come around and get settled up. The Juice looked fantastic the other night, so that's a good sign. There's a lot going on that is underwater that we're not seeing.
Yeah. By the way, I hope you did some nice chaperoning of Chase in Vegas. You know, yeah. kept him out of trouble the other night.
Didn't even see him. He fell off the grid.
He was tweeting a lot, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And included, I like the picture of you and C-Mace in the sports book. That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
So
it was really cool. Yeah.
So Hal. Michael McCarron, I hate to overreact. You know, sometimes you run into some goals and things like that. But is there something with him right now happening beyond that?
Well, it's nice that he's getting goals. That's a plus. Kid's a first round draft pick. He's got the skill. It's not like he just all of a sudden got lucky and got a couple goals. He can play. But the thing is especially for first rounders. I feel like they're like, okay, I have to be a first-round guy. I have to go on and do this and do that. And, you know, you still got to find your game. It's not as easy as just jumping in the NHL and playing the game you've always played. You know, people ask me all the time, like, oh, my son just plays – he plays just like you. He's a squirt, and he plays a good, solid shutdown D. And I'm like, I wasn't a good, solid shutdown D when I was a kid. I was a stud. I was going coast to coast. I was making plays. If you needed a goal, I was your guy. I was Roman Yossi out there. And so you have to change your game. You know, the NHL is a different beast. And so when you look at McCarron, he's changed his game. I think he's found a niche, and I think the coaching staff has done a great job of saying, okay, this is what you do. You need to play. He's playing fast, which I think is the biggest thing. You know, he's got a huge reach. He's physical. He can win faceoffs. But if he can't get there in time and he can't be effective off the forecheck, then it's all for nothing. And so I think he's playing fast for a big guy, and that's been really what's made his game great. I think he's just reliable, killing penalties, blocking shots. You know, he's given the Preds a fourth line and to kind of rally around. I don't think Tomasino is a fourth line guy, but he looks pretty good playing with McCarron. Is that because of Tomasino, or is that because of McCarron? We can battle that out. Is it because of Nick Cousins, who's kind of the Swiss Army knife on that team? He can go anywhere. Either way, I just think McCarron has kind of found his niche, and he's playing it well. He's playing to his new identity, so to speak.
Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Hal, we've talked to you so much about Yosi this year, and look, everybody knows the year that he's having. When your name's in the same discussion as Bobby Orr and Paul Coffey and all these guys, it's ridiculous. I'm just curious, from your vantage point as a defenseman, how difficult is it to impact the game the way that he does offensively from that position as a defenseman? Like, how, put it into words for us normal people, like how ridiculous it is to watch him do that from that position with the regularity that he's doing it this year?
That's my only, to be honest, that's my only concern with Roman Josi's game is he tries to make an impact every time he's on the ice, and that is so hard to do. Obviously, his skating is, I think he's maybe the best skater in the game. His ability to push the puck up the ice, make plays in the offensive zone, everything he does is mostly because of his skating. Now, there's a lot of pressure on him to do it every time he's on the ice, and that's what impresses me, but also scares me. Is like, bud, just play defense for one shift. You know, just go out, you know, do your job, move the puck up to the forwards, let them do their job, and then support the rush when you can. But he's like, talk about being worn out. I'm exhausted just watching him. The way he moves all over the ice, is making plays every shift, and his ability to recover from, you know, the play wasn't made. He made a pass. It wasn't there. And he's got to work his butt off to get back into defensive position, and he does it. But it's just, it's remarkable that he does it. And then it's also like, okay, how long can you do that for? That's just exhausting. But, you know, in the end, it's a treat to watch him every night. Like, everything he does is just the wow factor times 10. You know, I always say, like, if you make $5 million, you should give me 5 wows a game. Like, when he's out there, I want to see 5 wow. Wow, that was a great play, you know? And he's given us, you know, 20 to 25 wows a game. And that's just absurd to me. It's so much fun to watch him. And, you know, leadership-wise, I think that's where it's kind of underrated, is if you're out there on the bench and you're looking at Roman Josi blow out a gasket on every shift, giving everything he's got defensively, offensively, I think that says something like, hey, I better give the same effort. This guy is not taking a shift off. And so if I'm on his team, I'm looking at him going, I got to up my game. I got to bring it. And it's not just sometime, it's every time. And that's what's impressive to me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So do you think, Hal, that this year is different in that way? I mean, obviously, you know, he's got his record production and everything, maybe more wows per game. But do you think that he has taken that up a notch this year in terms of just relentlessness on every shift?
I think so. I think he's just and I know the coaching staff has talked to him repeatedly about, you know, play your game, play, don't go outside your comfort zone, but, you know, like, just be, you know, make the right decisions and go play your game. But he's got that extra level, and it's like, as a coach, you're going, all right, don't push it. Well, okay, push it, because that was pretty awesome, you know. So keep her going, buddy. You know, it's but yeah, I think he's on another planet right now. His vision, you know, the backdoor passes, the spinorama pass on the tape, like, he doesn't miss too many times, and which is the amount of chances he takes. Like, I think that's probably the difference, is his confidence in you know, going down the boards in the offensive zone, cycling up to the middle. You know, he looks like he's going to run into some trouble, but then he does the cutback, creates more space, brings two guys to him, and then there's an open guy that he hits with a perfect pass. It's just those kind of plays he's making on the regular that are the wow plays that I'm talking about. But he's got the confidence right now to make them, and he seems like he's never in trouble, which, you know, there's a balancing there where, you know, he can't force it too much, but it's also keep going because it's helping the team win.
Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, tell us about your friends at Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, you know, I'm from Boston, so I grew up with Dunkin'. It's my go-to. Always, you know, even in college, I was talking to a friend of mine. They said, "Oh, you're doing these Dunkin' things." I said, "Yeah, well, it's kind of fitting that I've been doing Dunkin' since college. It got me through college." So, so now being in Nashville and seeing Dunks pop up, another next-gen Dunk location is at 1645 West Main Street, Lebanon. I got one by my house that I'm hitting up all the time. Great snacks, great food. Try the chicken biscuits, my son's favorite, the chocolate croissants, my daughter's favorite. My other daughter loves sausage, egg, and cheese, as do I. So something there for the whole family. You know, there's a lot to be had at Dunk's, not just the great coffee. So go out and treat yourself. It's iced coffee weather, right? So we're getting warm now. So go maybe get an iced coffee. But anyway, go get your Dunks.
Hal, have a great time in Buffalo.
Oh, always. That's always right. Get some wings in me.
That's the land right. Of Pete Weber.
That's right. Hal Gill joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30 here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including a trade target that they were apparently very interested in. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Hal Gill for joining us in the last segment. Joe, I was snooping around on 32 Thoughts by Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, who, by the way, will be joining Darren Donick and Chase today at 1 o'clock, as he does every Thursday. So some must-listen-to radio there, especially if you're a big hockey fan. Elliot Friedman, the best in the business. And the 32 Thoughts, he has the podcast that he does with Jeff Merrick, but he also comes out with kind of a written version of the 32 Thoughts every week on Sportsnet. And one of the areas that he got to this week was with Nashville being interested in Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel was, of course, heavily rumored to be on the move at the deadline. Place for Arizona. They've been out of it really since before the season began. They've been out of it. And Phil Kessel has been a good player in this league for a long time. It doesn't go into more detail than that. Just says Nashville was one of the teams interested in Phil Kessel. Obviously, that deal did not come to fruition at the trade deadline. But interesting nonetheless that apparently the Predators were poking around on Phil Kessel. And I've seen this on Twitter from our good friend Cody Holland and Hunter Pattinson that were kind of floating this idea around. Wonder if the idea of the Predators playing on the same day of the deadline maybe put a kind of the kibosh on this deal for Phil Kessel, because if you trade him and then he's not able to come up and play on the same day, which he probably wouldn't have been, that ruins his Iron Man streak, which is like 900-something games. Wonder if that's something that could have been a holdup in this process.
Interesting.
We don't know that. It's just pure speculation, but that's an interesting thought.
34 years old. 16th season, and maybe the only professional season without double figures in goals.
Yeah.
For Phil Kessel. definitely a player, you know, on the other side of things. But, boy, he's had a lot of success in this league.
Yeah. I think he's at, what is he, at 956, I think, right now, for consecutive games played, which is...
That is wild.
I mean, he a couple weeks ago, I mean, he had kind of like the Tanner Jeannot situation. I think they were up in Toronto, and he... Maybe it was Detroit. It was somewhere. Maybe I think it may have been Detroit. And he took the first shift of the game because he wanted to keep the streak alive. And then he flew a charter plane back to Arizona to be there for the birth of his child. So kept that streak going and then got right back on the plane. Good stuff.
Yeah, you should have thought about that, you know, you, like years from now. Yeah. You know. Well, you know, same day. Who's to say he couldn't have gotten on a charter and, you know. Can you leave like a forward spot open for him to well, at the end of the game?
Maybe. I mean, the Predators, they were in Anaheim that night. Ain't that far away from Arizona. I don't have no clue if the Coyotes were home or not, so
quick,
I probably need to go
quick
look.
Quick hop over there.
Yeah, just get over to Anaheim pretty quick.
What, in all seriousness, what would that have meant to add him?
Well, I think you immediately put him on the second line, and you know Luke Cunning's probably moved down at that point. So... I don't know if you move Cunning down to the fourth, or honestly, like with the way the fourth line's playing right now, does Luke Cunning become a scratch at that point? Maybe. I think there's a chance, but like I'd feel pretty good about Phil Kessel being on my second line if I'm a Kyle Granlund.
Yeah.
I know he's, like you said, he's not the same guy he used to be, but I'd also be interested to see what he could do on a team not named the Arizona Coyotes.
That is a very fair point. He does have 35 assists this year.
Yeah.
7 goals, 35 assists.
He's passing the puck around. I mean, it's 42 points. You take that to your lineup.
Yeah.
But it was not to be for the Predators.
I think it's just weird. I think Phil Kessel without a beard weirds me out. So that'd be my biggest objection.
Does he weird you out more, or do I without a beard?
It's actually similar. But like.
That's growing back in for you.
Yeah, it's no. Well, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Really appreciate it. Like we all thank you,
yes.
I think I speak for society when I say thank you for that and for opening the door.
Yes, we appreciate that. You know, it's interesting. You know, Hal brought this up in the last segment. John Hines did use the word consistency a lot this morning in our interview with him. That seems to be kind of the message that he's trying to drive home right now to the players. You know, I don't think they've played great this week, but you've won 2 games. You got an opportunity to win another one tomorrow, and then you get 6 out of 6 points. That sets up a pretty massive game next week against Minnesota as they come back here. But, you know, it's still, to me, the same situation heading into tomorrow's game. Yeah, you want to play better than you played, and I think that's important, but just get the 2 points. Like, come out of there with 2 points tomorrow against Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo continues to be pesky. Like, they've taken down some big teams. They've taken down Toronto a couple times. They've taken down all these teams like Vegas they got a few weeks ago. Like they're pesky out there in Buffalo.
Yeah, and it's a bunch of, you know, lot of young guys out there trying to carve out a spot and trying to get some momentum and ruin some evenings for some people. So I agree. I don't know exactly what the science is on, you know, peaking too soon. But if you're collecting points and still trying to muddling around a little bit and trying to find things, you know, a month from now is when you want to be
correct
playing your best. And by the way, it's not exactly like the NCAA tournament, but the Preds were not playing well going into the 17 tournament, you know, for the record. They were okay. They were up and down.
Yeah.
They got disappointing loss, I think, to St. Louis, which forced them to have to play Chicago.
It was
right?
Winnipeg.
I think it was Winnipeg.
Yeah.
There you go. So, doesn't, you know, it starts over when you get to the playoffs. But if you're playing your best hockey a couple weeks from now versus now, then I still think that's better.
Well, one thing
build up to it.
I agree. And one thing I'd like to see, like, I think it's been, you know, they haven't been shut out in terms of their production or their chances, but I do think it's been a little slower from the Johansson, Forsberg, Duchesne line of late in terms of their quality of play. And, you know, Duchesne had a wide-open net the other night and put one off the post.
That was last year, Duchesne.
Yeah, that was a tough one. But I would like to see them.
He still scored, by the way.
He did. Empty net.
And who called that?
You did. Well done.
Thank you.
I would still like to see them kind of crank it up a notch when it comes to just 5-on-5 being out there dominating a little bit more, especially when you're playing a team like Buffalo. Like Friday, tomorrow would be a game where I'd like to see that line kind of take over and handle the business a little bit out there.
Yeah, because, you know, I feel like the herd line, not the beast line, the herd line, has been the most consistent line, right? I mean, obviously, this is the one line that's been together the entire season, but
right.
For the most part, like you get some obvious importance just from them every night. And I agree that it's been a little bit less obvious from that top line, if that is the top line, if the herd line isn't really the top line, depending on who you are.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Dottica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.